It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, good morning, everybody. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil in the cut. We're the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. All right, the Kings are finally doing stuff. And we're going to try and make sense of it today because the NBA hit the crazy button this morning. If you're watching on YouTube and Twitch or watching on YouTube, please hit the thumbs up. We would appreciate you immensely for doing that. And subscribe to the channel if you don't. We're on here every single day, Monday through Friday. James and I, 10 a.m. to noon. D'Lo and KC, noon to 4. We don't change stream. It's just all the same thing. So come hang out with us each and every day as we talk sports, Kings, Niners, Giants, Raiders, A's, whatever's going on. We gotcha. If you're listening on 1320 AM and 98.5 FM HD2, good morning. We appreciate you. If you're listening on the free Odyssey app, thank you. Hello. If you don't have the free Odyssey app, download that. Search ESPN 1320, and you can listen to our station live anywhere around the world. Take us with you. Anyways.
There you go.
So I don't even know where to start. Matt, friend of the program, Matt Moore, HP Basketball on Twitter, Hardwood Paroxysm.
Yep.
Said, I don't even know where to begin writing. And that's exactly how I kind of feel about this Kings stuff, because they've now agreed to sign Dennis Schroeder to a 3-year, $45 million deal with the third year partially guaranteed.
Yep.
Jonas Valanciunas has been traded to the Denver Nuggets for Dario Saric and a salary dump.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're sitting here with Dennis Schroeder still being the most substantial thing the Kings have done. And I think where, you know, I saw Kenny talking about this last night on Twitter, how people need to relax. And, you know, you're saying today, like, God, people are so angry. I think it's just the uncertainty of what is this?
Yeah.
What is this? Are they trying this year? Are they in a quote unquote gap year? They're not tearing it down. They're clearly not going to tank. I think the frustration is, and where my frustration lies, is there's no path here. There's no clear direction here. This is get a point guard. All right, you got him.
Yeah, I mean, like, look,
help me.
The salary cap is $155 million. And the luxury tax is $188 million. First apron is like $198 million. But you just signed a point guard, and I know people want to freak out because this is Dennis Schroeder's 10th team in his 13th NBA season.
Fourth team in 12 months.
He's not young, but he does do a lot of the things that the Kings want to do. He does play defense. He does push the tempo. He does shoot the three ball. He's not a perfect... You know, he's not perfect at any of these things, but he is the best free agent guard, point guard on the market. And people can bring up Ty Jerome, or they can bring up Tyus Jones or Trey Jones. The fact is, like, Dennis Schroeder's a better player than all of those guys. Mm-hmm. And he's also a more natural point guard than Ty Jerome. He's a better scorer than either of the Jones brothers. He's a better point guard. So I think where we kind of get caught up in this thing is, what exactly are the Kings doing with the Malik Monk situation? I know Jake Fisher had a lot of stuff on a potential sign-in trade for Schroeder and Monk last night. At this point, it does not appear that that is what's happening. And basically, like, I can make sense of a swap, Dennis Schroeder for Malik Monk swap. And I can even tell people, like, look, when you hear that the Kings traded Jonas Valanciunas for Dario Saric and saved $5 million, they're not saving $5 million to put it in Vivek Ranadive's pocket. Mm-hmm. That's not what they're doing. Mm-hmm. What they're doing is trying to lower their salary right now so they can do other moves. Because if not, they're right up against the luxury tax. You signed mm-hmm. Dennis Schroeder to a deal that starts at $14.1 million. That's the mid-level exception. They just gave up their mid-level exception,
okay,
right? That would have put them at roughly $183 million, and the luxury tax is $188 million. You have no room to move.
You have $5 million to work with.
Yeah, and at that point, if you would have signed Jake LaRavia, who the Kings lost yesterday, mm-hmm. if you would have signed Jake LaRavia, you're at or over the luxury tax, mm-hmm. and you're done,
mm-hmm.
right? So by trading Valanciunas, now you drop all the way down to like $178 million. Now you got about $10 million to play under the luxury tax. And look, they're not done. At least I don't think they're done. They still have the ability to go out and sign more. Like, we've heard the Russell Westbrook rumors. We've heard, like, all, you know, Malcolm Brogdon. They're going to talk to Malcolm Brogdon. But
they're going to Zoom with Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah, they're going to Zoom. They had all these Zooms set up yesterday. So, like, at some point, you're still going to have to address the lack of depth at the forwards spots. You still have DeMar DeRozan and Neek as your only small forwards. You have Keegan Murray as your only true power forward. You can put Dario Saric in that. But let's be honest, Dario Saric is looking more and more like he's washed.
I will hear a lot of things today. Like I said, I'm not in the place where it's like fire everybody, what a disaster, everything is awful. I'm not there.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's just the general, I expected there to be a very clear direction of like, oh, this is what they're doing. This is how this affects immediate, this is how this affects 2 and 3 years down the line. And it's looking more and more like this is this quote-unquote gap year we keep talking about.
Yeah,
that
totally.
This is, hey, we got some rough contracts to move. They'll be easier to move down the line, so we're just going to kind of do that. And that's fine. You're just not going to sell that to me.
No.
I'm not going to be okay with like, hey, the Kings are going to be like a 9 or 10 seed again this year. It's fine. Everything's cool. Like, that's yucky. I'm not doing that. But what I won't be talked into is Dario Saric.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry. I will you can have the purplest glasses in the greater Sacramento region and you're not gonna be able to talk me into Dario Saric.
No, that's fine.
As a like option.
Yeah, like 3 years ago I would have loved to have had Dario totally. Saric 4 years ago. But yeah, Dario Saric's career path has gone pretty much
not the right direction.
No, it's gone away. And, like, look, they could buy out Dario Saric tomorrow and spread his $5 million contract, $5.4 million, over 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so it costs you $1.5 million. That's another $3 million they can free up in money to get closer, just add more depth to this roster. I don't think at this point that the Kings are even close to done. And I can even explain people that were out there freaking out last night because of the Malik Monk thing.
Yes.
Like, look, if there was an opportunity for you to trade Malik Monk for Dennis Schroeder, on paper, that doesn't sound great, right? Because
bad.
I said this last week without any question. I believe that Malik Monk is a better basketball player than Dennis Schroeder.
You'd be trading a younger, better player for an older, worse player.
Yeah.
That's a really hard sell for me, man.
I get it. But I would also say, like, Dennis Schroeder is a true point guard where Malik Monk isn't.
Mm-hmm.
He is. I mean, that he plays the position. He has played the position. I'm perfectly fine with them going into the season with Schroeder and Monk. I think that that's actually a really dynamic point guard pairing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not De'Aaron Fox. It's not going out and getting Ja Morant. But what it is you're going out and you're filling up the 48 minutes at that position with two guys that can really cook. And I'm okay with that. But the reason why you would have traded Malik Monk in a deal for Dennis Schroeder is very specific. It would have been a sign and trade, which would have hard capped the team at $198 million, which they're not getting to anyways, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, it would have kept the mid-level exception. So the Kings would still have that $14.1 million
mm-hmm.
that they can either trade or they can trade for a player to come into that money, or mm-hmm. they can go out and sign a player for that money. They would have had that as well as Dennis Schroeder. So while you're losing Monk,
mm-hmm.
you would have had the ability to go out and still continue to make moves. And it would have dropped their payroll all the way to like $163 million, which would have given them $25 million underneath the luxury tax
mm-hmm.
and $35 million under the first apron. Mm-hmm. And
Which is where they would be hard capped. Right.
As of right now, they're not hard capped. If this is a straight sign of Dennis Schroeder to the mid-level exception, then they are not hard capped and they can continue to do business accordingly. But that doesn't mean that they have a bunch of money to go do stuff. What they do have is they still have the Kevin Huerter $16.8 million trade exception. They've got a couple other trade exceptions. I'm pretty sure that in this deal to move Dario Saric for Jonas Valanciunas, that they probably use a Chris Duarte, a TPE, the traded player exception. But that thing was going to expire in like 3 days anyways, 5 days.
Sure.
Yeah. So like, look, they're tightrope walking right now. They're trying to piece together a team, trying to be competitive, which I know you can disagree with, but that's why Scott Perry was brought in here, not to tear it down, but to build something different in his image while remaining competitive. While whether they remain competitive or not, that's a whole other story.
Sure.
Like, we don't know if they're going to remain competitive. But as of right now, if they just gave up their mid-level, they still have their biannual exception, a little over $5 million. They still have these trade exceptions so they can go trade for somebody. They still have minimum contracts that they can sign for people. I just think that this might, as of right now, if Malik Monk is staying in Sacramento for right now, that does kind of extinguish any like chase of Russell Westbrook.
It's uninspiring, though.
No, like, I agree.
All the names you're saying are so uninspiring. This idea that you can go make a trade for the with this trade exception. Like, all right, man. Like, I guess it sounds like. It sounds like you're just throwing, we're going to use the phrase band-aids again, just, hey, here's some stuff. Look, we made moves. And I don't know, man. It just doesn't, we wanted a direction, right? We talked about, you need that point guard. You need a point guard to build around. Tyrese Halliburton, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Look what the freaking Hawks are doing around Trae Young this offseason.
Yeah.
Like, man, it is so much easier if you have that point guard to build around. You got to go find that guy. And then it's like, hey, here's Dennis Schroeder. Hey, call us in a couple of years. Just wait till we can get off these contracts. That's not a plan, dude.
No, I get you.
I understand they inherited a mess. Like I said, I'm not fully in the what are they doing? Everything's terrible. But at the same time, I'm not going to be talked into, wow, hey, sunshine and rainbows, man. Look, they got a point guard. Like, at least they can finally now move on with their offseason, because apparently this was priority number one. Like, there's a Keon extension to do. You got a Keegan extension to do.
Yeah.
You got to figure all that out still.
Well, I'd also tell you this. It does look like Scott Perry's looking at the next 2 years as, like, how do I get through the next 2 years? How do I get through the final 97 million or whatever it is it's owed Zach LaVine? How do I get through the DeMar DeRozan 2 years remaining, whether it's 1 or 2 years, right? Yeah. And if this is what I'm going to work with right now, I'm going to add Dennis Schroeder to just get us through this two-year window. And that doesn't mean that it's a full two-year window. It could mean that at the trade deadline, somebody comes knocking and says, hey, we'll take DeMar DeRozan, and you make a move. Or, hey, you know, we got a year and a half left of Zach LaVine. Somebody want to take on the contract? You make some move at the deadline. So what we're looking at is placeholders until they can figure out, you know, the path forward. And the path forward, like here, it's not going to be easy. Like, one of the worst things that ever happened was that you allowed, and this is, again, this isn't even a knock on Zach LaVine, but when you take a starting point guard that you build a team around, you talk about the Trae Youngs, you talk about, you know, Ja Morant, the Memphis is out there building around Ja Morant. We're, you know, all of these point guards that they build around, you had your point guard to build around, and you traded him for an overpriced shooting guard with a long history of not only not playing defense, but a long history of injury. Like,
you traded for a bad contract.
Well, not only a bad contract, but a player at a position that realistically isn't that difficult to fill, that you already had multiples of. So when you did that, you unbalanced the roster so greatly that there's no way to really everybody right now is on the other side of the boat trying to keep the thing from capsizing. Because you brought in a contract that doesn't make any sense. And that's just really, really difficult to recover from. And that's the job that Scott Perry accepted.
No, and that's understood. I think where the other frustration comes in, because nothing you said is wrong. Like, I'm not disagreeing with you. But I think where the frustration comes in is they take this huge swing to acquire Domantas Sabonis, right? Like you trade Tyrese Halliburton, who is a rising star, but you get Domantas Sabonis, and hey, this thing works. And then that was like the last major move they made. That was the last huge swing they took, and that was what, 3 years ago now, four years ago. So, I think when you're the Kings, and you're like, man, it would take a huge swing to kind of get out of this. What's the big move that's coming? Where's the And you see Milwaukee waving Damian Lillard and just eating $22 million a year for 5 years and saying, hey, we're going to do this, and then we're going to sign Miles Turner. And you see Denver able to get off Michael Porter Jr.'s contract for Cam Johnson and then sign Bruce Brown to the minimum. And what else did they do? And then acquire Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah.
Like, you see all these teams do it. You see Atlanta doing all this stuff. You see Phoenix moving mountains to try and change their situation, and then the Kings are like, how about Dennis Schroeder? Like, trust us. We're doing... Like, it seems like every other team is able to function and maneuver and make this big swing, and for years, with Monty McNair, we heard financial flexibility, patience, and we're going to wait and bide our time, and then we're going to strike, and it just never happened. And now it kind of feels like, hey, financial flexibility, we're going to wait and bide our time. Dog, that's a really hard sell given how the last 3 years.
Yep, I agree. So,
we got to step aside on the radio. We're going to play some commercials, and then we'll keep talking about this. We've got a ton of King stuff coming up. We got to get into the Milwaukee Bucks' insane moves. Denver looks awesome.
Yep.
Atlanta continues to win the offseason, which is kind of crazy.
Houston
winning the offseason. There is so much going on in the NBA, and we're going to cover all of it. And there's going to be news breaking throughout the day, so do not go anywhere. On ESPN 1320, this is The Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Joe's over there. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're rocking with you until noon on Sacramento Sports Center.
Home.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Oof. This is tough, man.
One of those days.
It's not, like I said, I don't want to come across as though I believe the world is the sky is falling, right? Like, I don't, because I don't think it's that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a general frustration with, okay, man, Scott Perry's opening presser. He just knows what to say. He emphasized the need for a point guard. Okay, yeah, they know they need a point guard. Who can they go get? Who can they trade for? Who can they really, really shake up this roster? And then it just turns out those avenues aren't there.
I don't think we ever even got to Dennis Schroeder. Like, on the list of point guards, like, we had list of point guards that you like, would have to trade for, that you'd have to give a whole bunch for, right? And then we had this other list of potential free agents.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Schroeder was on that.
It was like
that.
Schroeder, Tyus Jones, Trey Jones. Those were like the big three.
Okay.
Top of the list. And then Westbrook had his option. I think Malcolm Brogdon was on the list.
Yeah.
I wrote down basically everyone who had played minutes.
No, that's true. It just felt like we skipped over the possibility of Schroeder. And like, look, this is a reasonable, he's a reasonable player. He's a guy who's been a starter in the league for years. And
totally.
Yeah.
We didn't, and this is, and again, this is where there's nuance to this.
Mm-hmm.
In a vacuum, Dennis Schroeder is not bad. I don't think Dennis Schroeder is a bad player.
Mm-hmm.
But we went from not really even mentioning him. When we did Kings point guard options, we said, here's the free agents. Wow, these are all super uninspiring. Every name we say, like, yeah, maybe Trey Jones, he's 25, maybe he's got something, another level to hit. Maybe, but it was like Tyus Jones, meh. Dennis Schroeder, meh. You need to find that point guard to build around, that dude to build around.
Yep.
And then you wind up here. And again, it's not that this is bad. It's not that, honestly, the Kings are better today than they were yesterday, I think.
No, they are.
They
got better today.
Right. So that's where I'm struggling with this, because I do not think that Dennis Schroeder is bad. He's a pesky defender. He can handle the basketball. Good first step. Like, every once in a while you'll see him, he gets into the lane, can draw fouls, he distributes, just kind of does the things, but he's just a guy.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do anything particularly special. And so, yes, it's a point guard, but when the expectation was Scott Perry's going to really shake things up. He's going to flip this roster on its head. People aren't going to know what hit him. And the move is trade Valanciunas and a salary dump for Dario Saric, who's washed, and then add Dennis Schroeder. Okay, here you go. It's like, man, all right, I guess. So it just pushes. I was under the expectation there would be some kind of seismic move coming from the Kings, and maybe there still is, and we're just not hearing about it.
Yeah.
There might still be, and I will be happy to change my tune. Be thrilled. But we're going into the second day of free agency here. And we've seen all these massive moves happen. It's just, like I said, it's just a hard sell to be like, hey, just wait 2 years.
Yeah, and
I don't wanna.
I get you. And also, like, when the Kings went out and traded for Jonas Valanciunas, I thought, man, what a move, right? But that was to get you through the last half of last season and try to make some sort of impact, right? You don't need a $10 million backup center when your starter is an all-NBA player that makes $45 million a year. You don't. And so I get that move. Now, I'm not saying, hey, it's okay that the Kings have, the rookie is going to play, that Maxime Reynaud is going to step in and be this massive player for the Kings. I don't believe that to be the case. Like, I still think the Kings need something different. But I'll also tell you that for as much as I really like Jonas Valanciunas as a player, the Kings have to have, like, some of the basic things that other teams have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, number one, length and athleticism at the wing. We've been banging the table for that for, like, you know, what is happening? Since, why can't you go find a guy,
since
right?
Day one of this radio program.
Yeah, it's just like, why can't you do that,
mm-hmm.
right? But let's not forget the fact that the Kings need a true rim runner, a guy who blocks shots at the four, the five.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have that guy, a lob threat for a guy like Malik Monk or, heaven forbid, Dennis Schroeder to actually lob the ball to. Like, they haven't had that guy for like 3 years. The last time they had the guy was JaVale McGee. And JaVale McGee was like, at that point, was what, 35, 36, and hasn't played in the league since. Like, so you can't just keep loading up on positions with the wrong type of player. And so, yeah, like, trading Jonas Valanciunas to me, like, again, I think Jonas Valanciunas is one of the nicest NBA players I've ever met. Every time he walked in the locker room, he fist bumped everybody, walked around the room, greeted everybody. He walked by you, put his hand on your shoulder. Hey, what's going on? How are you today? Like, good dude, but that doesn't mean that he was the right fit. And I'm not saying, like, going out and getting a guy like Kai Jones is going to change the landscape in Sacramento.
Sure.
But it might give the Kings a different look that they don't have today. And something like that makes more sense than spending $10 million a year on Jonas Valanciunas. And I agree, like, hey, he's a great backup center, but, like, this team isn't to a point where they need to prioritize a backup center that can be a starter. They need a different look type center.
So this is, and Michael Jones says this in the chat, and I think it's a valid observation. He said, we went from, we need a backup center to, Jonas Valanciunas is too expensive. And it's not that Jonas Valanciunas is too expensive. It's that Jonas Valanciunas is the type of backup center you want when you're a team that fancies itself a playoff team that wants to make a playoff run.
Yeah.
I think what you're seeing right now, and again, this is where I get a little bit stuck in my brain that wants to move logically. I'm frustrated with how slow this is going. But also, moving on from Jonas Valanciunas is something the Kings were going to have to do here in this roster revamp or rebuild or retool or whatever. I don't even know what we're calling it. But moving on from Jonas Valanciunas is going to have to happen. And if that means that, hey, as part of a quote-unquote their version of a tank or whatever this is, it means that you're going to play your second-round center a lot and see what he's got in the NBA, and you're going to take a couple of losses if it means that he can earn his lumps in the NBA and figure it out. I don't hate that. Now, I hate it. Again, we don't know what moves are coming down the line for the Kings, but where we sit right now, I would hate it if that was a pure salary dump.
Yeah.
If that winds up being, hey, what Michael Jones said, he was too expensive. we're not going to be competitive, so we just want his tent. We can take Dario Saric. He's just over here. We can save him about $5 million. Two thumbs up. That sucks. But I'm not ready to... I'm not there because we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, and I think that people need to understand that there's a difference between a salary dump to, like, line the pockets of an owner,
right,
you know,
right. To save money.
To save money, mm-hmm. right? Versus a salary dump that opens up more space so you mm-hmm. can actually go do more things. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and again, like, it's complicated. Even the Schroeder play, they could still do, like, a sign and trade for Schroeder with Detroit. And, you know, somebody brings up a really good point. They could actually use Yossi Goslin, what does he do? He's an NBA salary cap analyst for the Third Apron, right? Third Apron podcast.
Maybe a PhD to be a cap analyst these days.
Yeah, exactly. The Kings could actually use the Kevin Huerter trade exception in a sign-and-trade to acquire Schroeder, and that would retain their mid-level exception at $14.1 million. The reason why you would do this, like the two exceptions, one's bigger than the other, clearly, mm-hmm. but the reason why you would do that is very specific. If you're able to manipulate the cap, a trade exception isn't that valuable because it can only be used to acquire a player via trade. The mid-level is extremely valuable because, number one, you can break it up into multiple pieces, mm-hmm. All the way up to the $14.1 million. You can also use it for up to a four-year deal. And so there are all these little things about, like, that type of that exception itself mm-hmm. that makes a lot of sense. But the problem is, again, the Kings would be a tax team if they use the full mid-level after they did this deal. Mm-hmm. So, we're going to keep spinning around in circles. At some point, we're going to see what the plan is.
That's it.
Yep.
I do. Again, while I'm not like, hey, this is awesome. Everything is so good right now. Mm-hmm. I also wouldn't be shocked if we find out sometime during our show, sometime during D'Lo and Casey, noon to four, right here on ESPN 1320, that there is the Kings are maybe part of some significant trade.
Yeah.
That does shake up the roster in some meaningful way. But I think for now, while the expectation was they would be working on that and doing that early and really be big players in free agency and the trade market, they just haven't been.
Yeah.
And I do not, because I feel this, and I do not blame any Kings fan who's sitting there going, I don't have the patience for this anymore. I'm done being patient. I'm done raising banners for financial flexibility. Use it. Do something with it. Mm-hmm. Like I think that's what Joe was saying this morning before the show. It's like, I just don't have, like, I don't want to wait anymore.
No,
I mean, I don't trust them to do. Is that, am I, you just,
yeah.
You don't trust that yeah. move that we're saying, hey, this could be there. You don't trust that it's there.
Yeah. Pretty much what I said was that they haven't given me any reason to give them any more patience.
Sure.
And that's kind of exactly it. I mean, if I had something to lean on, something from the past where I was like, okay, yeah, well, let's have a little bit of patience, work this mm-hmm. out, maybe, but I have nothing to work with at the moment. So mm-hmm. yeah, no, I'm not feeling very patient.
Yeah. You got to prove it.
Yeah.
That's just it. And maybe I, like I said, I'm crossing my fingers, my toes, whatever, that there's a different, another significant move coming. Because if the moves are, yeah, hey, they have, what'd you say, $10 million? Under the luxury tax right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, roughly.
Is filling that $10 million with a couple of players and that's it?
Yeah.
That's tough.
No, I get it. But, you know, we went from last night where if you watch social media last night, the outpouring from Kings fans who just freaked out because it was possible that they were going to trade Malik Monk for Dennis Schroeder in this trade, in this transaction.
The optics of that are bad.
The optics of it are bad, but... Like, look, when you bring in a new GM, we warned you of this. Like, we told mm-hmm. you the entire time, this is going to get painful. Mm-hmm. Do not go buy a Kings jersey right now. Wait until the jersey drops 50% off for a player who's not there anymore.
Sure.
Because that's probably going to happen. And we're not done yet. Like, we're not done at all. I think, for me, one of the biggest frustrating parts, I'll say this, mm-hmm. is that you had two young players that are in play this offseason, right? Mm-hmm. One of them was Shake LaRavia, and you lost him for nothing.
To the Lakers.
You lost him for absolutely, and there's nothing you could do about that deal. To be honest with you, good riddance. If Shake LaRavia wants to leave and try somewhere new for $700,000 more over 2 years, when you easily could have made the second year non-guaranteed money and he could have made more money. Like, you could have given him a player option and he could have had full Larry Bird rights next season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this could very much hurt Shake LaRavia's long-term money, because mm-hmm. now in order for him to establish Larry Bird rights, he has to play his 2 years with the Lakers to get early Bird rights and then has to play another year to get full Bird rights.
Jeez.
On the cheap.
Yeah.
So, like, he could very well never, ever get to a point where he gets his Bird rights back.
Yikes.
In the NBA. And so, like, for him to take that deal, okay. I think I like Shake LaRavia, but I wasn't sold that Shake LaRavia is, like, the end-all, be-all. He had one really, really good game early, his first game when he showed up, and was like this, you know, 90 seconds of brilliance where he scored 8 points.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all got, like, all excited. Hey, Shake LaRavia. But, like, I'm going to put him in the Ike Diagu category. Like, yeah, Ike Diagu finished the season averaging 30 points a game over the final two games. And then I don't think he ever played again in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just, like, sometimes players have moments. I'm not going to pin everything to, like, that. But you had two young players in Shake LaRavia and Keon Ellis. One of them is gone, and the other one very well could be gone because you didn't have any room to do something to, like, keep him long term.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, again, if they would have been able to do this deal, if they would have been able to do the Jonas Valanciunas deal, like, 4 days ago, if mm-hmm. they would have known for sure that they had that deal done,
mm-hmm.
then you should have not picked up the option year on Keon Ellis, and mm-hmm. you should have just paid him. But, like, still,
I think
they're $10 million under the luxury tax right now. Like, and you add in the $2 million that Keon's going to make, would he have accepted $12 million?
Sure, maybe.
Maybe not. He might have said, no, I want the full 14 or whatever it is that I'm going to get on the open market.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's complicated. But look, at the end of the day, I think we have to wait and see how all of these moves play out. And I'm not saying don't get angry. I'm saying, like, wait and see. And then get angry.
Yeah, I don't. And that's the thing, is I don't think anybody's burning their Kings jerseys. I don't think people are getting rid of their season tickets for this. I don't think they might, but I don't think that's what's happening. I think you're seeing a fan base that has been told over and over and over again that got to the playoffs and then missed the playoffs the next 2 years in service of financial flexibility and just wait. And now, to tell that same fan base, well, hang on, financial flexibility, just wait. You can't do that and expect people to be like, oh, got it. Yeah, like, nobody's not going to watch the Kings this year. They're going to be fired up when it's game one and mm-hmm. we'll start the regular season. But for now, I think it's been underwhelming. And I think the other thing is, you start talking through that as you kind of lay out how this has all gone. I think that's the part that's sticking for me. And that's the part where the frustration sets in, is this doesn't feel like a plan. This all feels very reactionary. This all feels like, okay, we'll wait on Shake LaRavia. Oh, shoot. Oh, he's gone. Okay, that's fine. Or before that, we'll wait on the Keon thing. We'll get that worked out. Oh, hey, the deadline's here. We don't have any money to pay him, so we'll just pick up his option and kick that can down the road. And like, oh, this Jonas Valanciunas trade just opened. Yeah, sure, here. You take him, we'll take... That's what all of this feels like. This does not feel like this well-calculated plan where Scott Perry's going, okay, we're going to move this, and then we're going to move this around, and we're going to do this, and now we're set up to knock down these dominoes that we've been setting up. It feels like a scramble, and just trying to get their arms around the offseason as every other team is making all these moves.
I get that. I would also... Like, I think my rebuttal would be, I think it's possible that, like, people like us who sit here and talk about fake trades and things that we, you know, like, we had our favorite
thing,
that our fake trades of the day.
I was on Fanspo this morning, brother.
Yeah. But when we create an element that, like, maybe you can do this, maybe you can do this, maybe you can build this team quickly, I just don't think they're able to do it. I think they went out on the market with you know, they set up their table at the local market, and they put all the cards out on the table that they were willing to trade. Mm-hmm. and people just kept walking by their table and you know, glanced over and like, hey, no, I'm not interested.
Will you take $4 for that, Malik Monk?
You know, the guy at Costco that keeps asking you what cell phone plan you have and you just keep walking, no, thank you, I'm good. That's what exactly just happened to the Kings. Like a bunch of people just walked by their table and said, yeah, I'm not interested in what you have.
Sure.
And that's the reality.
Do you want Dennis?
Well, now you got another guy that it's very possible that people don't want, that you won't be able to move off of, and Dennis Schroeder, because like a bunch of teams have moved off him in the past.
Sure.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I still think he's a top 6-7 of a rotation player in the NBA for almost every team. But whether he, like, for the money that you gave him and the money that you had to give him, because you're always going to pay a tax for being the Sacramento Kings and being a small market and being a team that's known for dysfunction. Like, look, I just hope what you didn't do here is sign a guy and 2 weeks from now he turns into George Hill and stops playing basketball, or he turns into a Luis Severino and just wants to complain the whole time. That's what I hope you didn't get.
Yeah.
Because that's where it'd be like, okay, not only is this disappointing as far as like what you could have got and what people wanted you to go get, but if he's not happy and he wants to be that guy, then that makes it even worse.
That makes it 10 times worse, because I think the ideal is, okay, you're bringing in a stopgap, but you know what? He's going to play hard. He's going to be scrappy. He's going to be this culture-setting veteran.
Yep.
And if he does the opposite of that, that's a freaking disaster, man.
Yep.
We'll keep talking Kings offseason. Any news that breaks, we'll have it for you. So don't go anywhere. You're on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. We are the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James. I'm Kyle. He's Joe. We're going to put a pin in the Kings briefly to talk about some of the other insane stuff that's going on around the NBA today. We'll break all that down for you and have any breaking NBA news for you. On the Insiders, he's James, Joe, Kyle. I've said all this. Voice guy, get me out of here.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James is there. I'm Kyle. That's Joe. I'm going to talk about hard roster moves. The Bucks waived Damian Lillard today.
It is crazy.
So we talked about this a little bit yesterday, how Bradley Beal couldn't just be waived because of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason Dame can be waived, even though he has a super expensive contract, is there's some Keith Smith of SpotTrack broke this down on Twitter. Go find his Twitter for the full readout. But basically, the Suns already have $3.8 million stretched. So Beal's contract would take them over like a 15% of the cap or something.
Oh, got it.
And Dame's does not, by like $600,000. So that's why they were able to do it and the Suns can't. At least this year. So.
Yeah, okay, so.
Go ahead.
I also, like, Damian Lillard, from what I've read, has really struggled being away from his family.
Yeah.
And he's a guy who has always been on the West Coast. He's a big Oakland guy, but also, you know, his family, they established roots there in Portland. And it's just been very difficult. And he's going to be sitting here, rehabbing for a year.
Yeah.
I don't think he's playing at all this year.
I would be very surprised if he plays this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If you're the Kings, do you just call and go, hey, now you're a Bay Area guy. Come out to Sacramento. You're an hour and a half up the road. You can rehab here with great medical staff. Rehab here and finish out your career. Would you sign him to like a 3-year deal for that?
I mean, if it's for pennies, because he's making $22 million for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
I hear what you're saying about the reports about he didn't like being away from his family in Milwaukee. But then you see a report that like Miami is interested in Dame, which obviously, but that's even further away than Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So if I'm the Kings, I'm calling, dude. I'd say like, hey, we can't pay you a ton, but we're going to guarantee you 3 years, including 25, 26.
I wouldn't doubt that he does that either with Portland or he does that with the Warriors. Like, those are two places where he has established roots. Mm-hmm. It's possible, like with the Kings, he'd say, okay, I'll consider it.
Yeah, we got a starting job for you next year.
Yeah. Someone in the chat asked, why was Severino catching strays from James? Severino took a whole bunch of money from the A's and then got to Sacramento and just wants to complain every single day that he's in Sacramento. His
complaint specifically about the ballpark.
Yeah, about the ballpark. Exactly. And I get it. Like,
They did not pull the rug out. He knew exactly what he was getting into.
Yeah. But so he's made it an issue.
He's catching a stray because he's unloading the clip every chance he gets.
Every single chance he gets. And he's got to the point where the A's are done with him and ready to move him. And to be honest with you, I think Mark Kotze is done with him because when I watch him go out there and start giving up a couple of runs and then Kotze just lets it ride and leaves him out there and say, all right, go ahead. You'll take the 7 earned.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine with me. Or the 6 earned that you took the other day.
Yeah.
The reverse is just, you know, we're not going to sidetrack this completely. I also get Severino being frustrated because the A's are a little league defensive team. I have never seen anything so incredible. Not only defensively, but on the base paths. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you're down 3-0 and you run into 2 outs in the 7th inning or the 8th inning?
So bad.
Like, every single game. Like, again, you put a guy who's never played third base at third base.
We're going to talk Kings in a second, everybody. Yeah. Go ahead.
A guy who's never played left field in left field, and then a ball drops between them like once every 3 games. And it's just really, really horrible to watch. If I'm Severino, I'm more upset about the fact that my team can't field routine plays again and again and again, and I keep giving up runs because they don't catch a pop-up.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'd be frustrated. Sorry.
No, you're good. This is the Insiders. We're talking a lot of Kings today, but you needed to get that off your chest with the A's. I understand. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Joe Brazil's here. That's James. I'm Kyle. I have a question about Malik Monk. I know we were just talking about Dame. I'll save the Malik Monk thing. When we take a pin out of the Kings, it'll be about Malik Monk. We were talking about the Bucks. So they waived Damian Lillard and stretch provision him, so they'll pay him $22 million a year. He'll cost them $22 million a year for the next 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then they turn around and they sign Miles Turner to a 4-year, $107 million deal. And then we get a report from Chris Haynes that Giannis is upset that Dame has been waived. But then we get a report from Shams that Giannis actively recruited Miles Turner.
There's no way that they didn't lay out the cards and show him.
1,000%
Like, dude, this is how we get Miles Turner. Dame's got to go.
Absolutely.
And Dame can come back and sign there well, I think he can. Yeah. Oh, maybe he can't the length of... No, it's just the length of the deal. Yeah. Oh, no. He can't sign back in Milwaukee for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... the Bucks, I think, got substantially better. But the drama of Miles Turner from the Pacers joining the Milwaukee Bucks, who have beef with the Pacers after the Pacers eliminated them in 2 consecutive postseasons, and then you had the whole deal with Oscar Tshiebwe. Scored his first point and took the basketball, and after Giannis had set the record for points in a game for the Milwaukee Bucks, and then there was that whole confusion over that. There's beef there.
Yeah.
And Miles Turner leaves the Pacers after their run to the finals. They went to game 7 of the finals. They were 12 minutes away from hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy, and he leaves to go to their sworn enemies. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
Pacers Bucks is going to be excellent for the next couple of years.
I love what the Bucks have done, though, like to recover. Yeah. Like, they got themselves in a really tough situation where they've got to try to make Giannis happy. And I think, you know, when you go out there and you get a Miles Turner, when you go out there and, you know, you retain Bobby Portis and Kevin Porter Jr., and then you get Gary Trent signed like the cheapest contract ever.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a guy going from making $21 million to a guy making like $2 million and like being okay with it.
Yeah.
But like, look, they're trying their best to create something for Giannis to keep their star happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not easy to do, but yeah.
I'm a winner.
Yeah.
He is a winner.
Giannis. Yeah. What you just said there, and I don't want to harp on this too much, but it's just really difficult not to. You talk about how the Bucks got themselves in a really difficult situation, or the Bucks got into a really difficult situation when Dame tore his Achilles.
Yep.
And they figured out a way out of it. They figured out a way to, on the fly, because things, the writing on the wall, we called this the summer of Giannis. The writing on the wall was, A, the Bucks supporting cast is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They are a playoff team because of their conference. They are not a threat once they get to the postseason. They have no money to work with. They have no way to work this out. Giannis is going to ask out. Oh my God, the Bucks are hosed. And all of a sudden they're waving Dame and they're adding Miles Turner and we feel good about the Bucks again. It took a month.
Yeah.
2 months to just, oh, the Bucks are back. Cool. That's another reason it's really difficult to sit here in Sacramento and go, yeah, they're just in a tough spot.
Well, that it like
so are other teams.
It's not just the Bucks too. I mean, you talk about the Denver Nuggets. They go out, they trade Michael Porter Jr. for Cam Johnson, the guy the Kings have been trying to get for 5 years. It feels like So they go out and they do that deal. Then that frees up enough money where they're able to re-sign Bruce Brown that they had lost, who signed a 2-year, $40-something million deal and left and for a couple of years, and now he's back on a league minimum deal. Then they're able to go turn around and go get Jonas Valanciunas from the Kings. And they went from having like a team that was fading to they're right back in it. Hey, look at that. You got a better fit player in Cam Johnson. You got Bruce Brown back to play defense and to be that guy. And now you have a legitimate backup center. Mm-hmm. Like that team got better. You look at what the Rockets have done. They go out. Somehow, I don't know where they're like printing money, but they had signed Steven Adams to an extension. They brought back Jeff Green. They brought back one of the Holiday brothers,
Aaron.
Yeah, so they're building this team. They go out, they trade for Kevin Durant, and then they sign Clint Capella, and then they go out and they sign Dorian Finney-Smith, and you're like, okay, first of all, that's one of the great. That team is going to be so good defensively.
They are loaded.
They are loaded, loaded, loaded. I mean,
I would so much rather have Dorian Finney-Smith in the Dylan Brooks role than Dylan Brooks.
Oh yeah,
they got better. Just that Brooks might be a little better defender, but I trust Dorian Finney-Smith offensively way more than I trust Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, well, he knows his role.
The Rockets are going to be a problem, dude. I think the other part with this is you're watching the Rockets, who were already ascending. Like, don't.
Yeah.
This is not. Oh wow, the Rockets out of nowhere. The Rockets solidified themselves in the West. The Rockets are now past the, okay, it's a lot of young guys. It's still some young players, but they have some legit veterans there now. Like legit star with Kevin Durant.
The Rockets just line themselves up to be in full competition with Oklahoma City Thunder for a title.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah.
You're watching Denver, who took Oklahoma City to 7 games.
Yeah.
By the way, they reloaded.
Yep,
and look awesome. Like the West, we already knew the West was going to be really tough, but you're seeing these teams that, man, if the Rockets take one false step, they could careen back down to earth.
Yep.
Yeah, Memphis, kind of rebuilding on the fly. Memphis could be a problem next year.
Memphis done incredible stuff. I mean, Memphis they signed Triple J to the massive extension.
Mm-hmm.
They retained Santi Aldama. They got Ty Jerome. They lost Luke Kennard, but okay.
Yeah, it's
like
fine.
They've done a nice reload as well after dealing Desmond Bain.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, right back in it.
That's the other, I think, part of this is seeing all this stuff going on. Teams in the West retooling. You got the Bucks overcoming their biggest contractual hurdle just on the fly, and then adding the best center on the market in the process. Man, and it's not even done. We're in not even 24 hours into free agency.
Yeah.
I would expect more fireworks, and my expectation is the Kings will be involved in those in some way, ideally. So if they are, we'll let you know. I want to talk about winners and losers from free agency so far. You have some winners. We'll recap kind of what an insane morning it's been so far, and any breaking Kings news, we will have it for you right here on the Insiders. It's ESPN 1320. We're hanging out with you till noon. We've got to step aside for just a moment, so don't go anywhere. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. Lord.
Good
my God,
Lord.
John Poles. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil with us on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you till noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will continue to try and make sense of the Kings' offseason so far. They wind up not trading Malik Monk, and that's kind of where I want to start right now, is the Malik Monk's name has come up in multiple kind of trade rumors leading up to the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me wonder if the Kings are shopping him or if teams just want him. Maybe Detroit said, yeah, hey, this is a guy we need and we think he fits with Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, and all that. Or are the Kings going, hey, we have a glut of players at this position. We're looking for hard-nosed defenders who are going to do the little stuff on the margins, and Malik is too inconsistent offensively. He doesn't play enough defense, and we just don't. We're just, eh. Like, I think that's one of the other things that sticks out to me here is, okay, so Malik Monk has been involved in all these trade rumors.
Mm-hmm.
His place, where I believed Malik Monk was he's a perfect six man. He is the emotional fulcrum of the Kings. He is what their roster, what on their roster passes for this vocal leader. He is their most important player. That's the train I've been on.
Mm-hmm.
But it at least appears that that's not the case anymore. Because I can't believe if that was the case, they'd be willing to trade him for Dennis Schroeder. Which, again, that didn't wind up happening, it doesn't sound like.
Yeah.
But that was very much like what was bandied about last night, was it was going to be the sign and trade, and it was going to be Malik Monk for Dennis Schroeder. And if that's the case, I don't know how you move forward with him on your roster.
Okay, so you said something there that really stuck out. He's the emotional fulcrum.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes when you switch management and they bring in a whole new group of people,
mm-hmm.
you want to change the emotional fulcrum of a team. Like, I think that that's possible, that that's where we're at with this. Like, Scott Perry walked in the building, and from what I know, he interviewed like every single person in the building. Like, no stone unturned. He wanted to get a feel for what was happening in Sacramento from top to bottom. We're talking about ball boys. We're talking about locker room attendants and mm-hmm. you know, trainers. And he sat down with everybody and got a lay of the land. Sometimes a lay of the land, things come out that maybe make you uncomfortable as a GM. Or maybe things come out that, like, look, it's not like, I think when you look at Malik Monk, he is a lightning rod for energy and everything else. But that doesn't mean that it's always positive. Like, you know, there are certainly times where, you know, Mike Brown and Malik Monk went toe-to-toe because Malik Monk thought practices were too long.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where, you know, Mike Brown lost his job, and there are players within the walls of that franchise that had gone to management and asked for Mike to not be there anymore
mm-hmm.
during the summer before.
Mm-hmm.
It's very possible Malik Monk was one of those guys. Like, there are enough things that happen here where, you know, Malik has been pushing and pushing and pushing to be the starter,
mm-hmm.
then was a starter, and it didn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
And the team struggled, and the team fell apart. And then you look and like, okay, well, how do you go back? And we kept saying, well, you can't really go back once you press that button.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have to go back. Like if this team is going to survive,
shout out to Lost.
He's got to be somebody who goes back to a position that he was at before mm-hmm. that realistically isn't what he wanted to do. So, yeah, I get it. He loves Sacramento. I get it. He's been embraced by the fan base, but like there are certain points where you got to wonder like how much blood is on people's hands behind the scenes and which players have some of that blood on their hands. And sometimes it's just that. It's just like, hey, we need to switch things up. You know, you talk about, again, an emotional fulcrum.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Scott Perry doesn't want an emotional fulcrum tied up into either one person or this specific person.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the interview didn't go well when he sat down with Malik Monk sure. and he walked away from that going, okay, maybe I need to make a different move. And so, like, look, I think that as from the outside, everybody sees the player. Everybody sees what they want to see in a player. Mm-hmm. They see the excitement. They see all this stuff. But they ignore the 32% from three. They ignore the bad turnovers. They ignore the blown defensive yeah. assignments because that's not who they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see this guy that they love, that they adore as like this electric guy who, you know, is just like super funny and mm-hmm. all of these things. But sometimes that's not what a new management group wants. They look mm-hmm. at a player and they go, okay, I get it, but I don't want that. And yeah. so I'm not saying that's 100% the case here with Malik, but there's enough smoke here that you know, if the Kings are going to get better, that he might be the piece that they use to get better.
And I guess that's everything you just laid out is the basis of my concern here. What if they can't trade him? And now you have this guy who has been, we'll continue using the phrase emotional fulcrum, who has been that, who's now in the locker room, and it was clear there's some kind of, I don't even know what to call it. I don't want to say friction, but it's clear that whatever Malik Monk does on the court or off the court, I have no idea, but there's something there where the Kings said, we're going to move on from this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not, you have him in your locker room still, and I don't know how you navigate that. Because he's not just going to go sit in the corner and go about his day and do his thing. He's just not wired that way. So I think they've now presented another issue here where I saw the same thing you did on social media. Like, oh my God, how do you trade Malik? It's like, now I think you have to. I don't think you can recover from this where you go, okay, hey, Malik, I know we tried to trade you, but hey, you're going to come back in here and you're going to do this thing and you're going to be like, if you've decided he's not part of your program, I don't think you can go into this year with him in your program.
I think you can, but I think this is where coaching comes in. This is where Doug Christie and his group have to like embrace, you know, if Malik is still on the roster when we get to the, you know, start of the season. And like, look, I'm just going to throw this out there. Mm-hmm. This has a feeling to me a little bit of, actually the Kings did this so many times. It's so stupid. they had Isaiah Thomas
yes.
and then, they brought in Darren Collison and instead of letting them compete, they gave away Isaiah Thomas for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They should have just let them compete. Best man wins.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then they have Darren Collison. But they bring in Rondo and, you know, instead of letting them compete, they give the job to Rondo and then eventually Darren Collison's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just kept doing this where like, hey, if you open up training camp and Dennis Schroeder and Malik Monk are your two point guards,
mm-hmm.
let them compete. Let them compete for the starting job. Because to be honest with you, they are like the Spider-Man meme. They're just like 4 years, 5 years apart, right? They are. They're very similar players. They bring very similar energy and everything else. Either one of them can start or come off the bench. Go ahead and like let them fight it out for who's going to be the starting point guard. I don't think that will happen,
mm-hmm.
But like why not? Because you can't, I mean, again, if they're both on the roster, I know that sounds really strange, Malik Monk will make more money this year than Dennis Schroeder.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. let the best man win if that's what you're going to do. So I'm okay with it. I'm also like, I understand full well that you know, Malik Monk could be attached to a different trade, mm-hmm. especially if the Kings have been chasing Russell Westbrook and wanted both. Like, there's a possibility that there was another trade out there because this Detroit thing kind of materialized late, it sounded like.
That was weird, yeah.
It was weird, but they also the Malik Beasley thing happened on Sunday, mm-hmm. right before the start of free agency, where he all of a sudden is being federally investigated for you know, potentially fixing games. Mm-hmm. So we have that situation happening, and then all of a sudden, so the bottom falls out for them. They were able to sign Caris LeVert, which might take up some of that. But also, I wouldn't, you know, Detroit liked Malik Monk before, mm-hmm. and that's why all of a sudden I think everyone thought that this might be a sign and trade.
Mm.
You know, like, because it kind of made sense for the Kings to clear out a guy who maybe didn't make sense for them anymore and bring in a guy like this. Mm-hmm. Either way, like, look, the Kings have a lot of work to do. Scott Perry's got a lot of work to do, and it's not just in adding players and all that stuff. Like, there's a cultural shift that they're trying to accomplish right now. Mm-hmm. And as of right now, they don't have that cultural shift. Most of the players on the roster are the same exact players that were here the year before. You know, Dennis Schroeder's here at this point, but, you know, I'm not going to, like, Markelle Fultz and, you know, Jay Crowder and Doug McDermott, those aren't, like, foundational pieces that are all gone.
Right.
You know, maybe the closest thing you did have to a foundational piece out of all of those guys is Trey Lyles, and mm-hmm. we don't know what's going to happen with him. But at the same time, like, look, there is a shift that's happening. And to be honest, it had to happen. You went from 48 wins to 46 to 40.
Mm-hmm.
And we can start pointing and placing blame on why that happened. Mm-hmm. And I think it really is easy to do that. But also, like, a lot of these players were the same players and they didn't perform at the same level.
Yeah, no doubt.
And they let the fans down as much as anyone else does. Like, there's no excuse for being a sub 500 team at home or being right around 500 on the season at home. Not when you have a fan base like this, not when every single player talks about how amazing the fan base is and how, you know, they've played in other cities and there's nowhere near as many fans and they're not nearly as rowdy and all that stuff. Okay, well then play better. Play better at home.
Sure.
Represent better.
Mm-hmm.
Stop embarrassing your own fan base. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember Ty Halliburton, they asked him very specifically, like somebody asked him if this was like the most disappointing game in his career, because I think the Kings had just lost to Atlanta like by 30 or something. Mm-hmm. He goes, no, last year we lost by like 45 or something at home. He's like, that was the lowest of the low.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have to have a list of games at home where you were embarrassed so bad that you can actually start to put them in a 1 through 10 category. Yeah, you shouldn't have a ranking of the worst games. So, yeah, tough stuff.
You mentioned in there Russell Westbrook, whose name was out there a lot connected to the Kings last night. There was Malcolm Brogdon, who was initially reported by, I think it was Jake Fisher and Mark Stein, on Mark Stein's Substack, that the Kings were interested in him. I guess if you're going to bring in one of those guys, the money for me matters less right now than the roster construction. So you're bringing in two point guards at that point. If you still have Malik Monk, is he just your sixth man and playing off the ball all the time? Is he still playing on the ball a little bit? You still have Devin Carter. You still have Zach LaVine, who's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. I struggle to, outside of like the vibes of Russell Westbrook, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Malcolm Brogdon can shoot it a little bit. He hasn't been able to stay super healthy in his career, but I don't see the logic. Like you said, the direction is changing, and I don't see it. I see them spinning their tires.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, for me, like, look, I still think, you know, I see people putting up the current backcourt, like the logjam. Like, Malik Monk is fine playing point guard off the bench. Like, it's what he's done. It's what he's been extremely successful. He's the main ball handler. And let's be honest, the Kings got to a point where they didn't have enough playmaking. And, you know, especially when Malik and Kevin Huerter got hurt right before the play-in a year ago, like they just had this huge issue with no playmaking. Like, you added another playmaker. The Kings had to at least you add one playmaker. If you add a second, then somebody's got to go. Like, you can't bring in, at this point, you can't bring in a Westbrook or a Brogdon unless you are moving off of Malik Monk. That's the only thing that makes sense.
That's what I'm kind of getting at.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only way.
If you're interested in those guys, it has to be because you have something lined up for Monk.
Yeah.
That has to be the case.
Yep.
Or else the Kings roster would not make sense just in a different way now.
Mm-hmm.
While still being not making sense in the same way it did, but now we're adding a new element.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, man.
Making my head hurt, bro.
Like, switching your entire, like, what you're trying to build, like, in one offseason isn't simple.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
What else is out there? What else can they do? We'll get to that next. We're going to try and end this thing on a high note. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's James. I'm Kyle. Joe's over there. Okay, so I think a thing we're going to hear a lot today,
mm-hmm,
the Kings fans are overreacting. Have patience. Everybody's so mad all the time. Why are you mad? Stop watching. Whatever. So, help me. What you said, they made the Jonas Valanciunas trade. So they gave themselves $10 million under the luxury tax to work with. So what am I waiting on to be excited about?
Well, see, when we look at the way that the last like 48 hours has happened, and even the last 2 weeks in the NBA, how many of these trades did you see coming? How many trades did you go, hey, yeah, we kind of had heard about that. I just remember like being floored when Desmond Bain got traded, being floored when DeAndre Ayton was waived. Like, there are a bunch of things that have happened here. Like, we don't know what's next. And I know that that doesn't help where people are like, hey, you know, like, no, I want to know. I want to know. It's like, well, sometimes it does take, I'm not going to sit here and preach patience, but you do have to let the process play out a little bit.
Understood. 100%. But what are some moves that could theoretically be out there? Maybe it's something we're not talking about. But theoretically, what are some things out there? Like a Jonathan Kuminga trade, for example.
Yeah.
Is a thing that's been out there. I'm not going to take anything necessarily off the table.
Well, that
but
even
given
that.
Let's forget our individual thoughts on Jonathan Kuminga as a player for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Just the financial rules of that deal, because of the base year compensation rule, the Kings can only take back, or the Kings are going to get the full amount. They're taking on the full amount of the contract.
Yep.
Whatever it winds up being, let's say $25 million.
Yep.
The Kings are taking on $25 million, but the Warriors can only take on like $15 million or $14 million in that instance. So it's going to be financially tricky, not just with the Kings, but for any team to swing that deal. But what else is out there? Like, we've heard the Kuminga thing. We've both given our thoughts on it.
Well, again, the problem with the Kuminga deal is I don't think you've cleared enough space where you could have the offset, like, without going in the luxury tax.
Right.
And it would be a sign and trade, so you're getting hard capped at $198 million at the first apron.
Yeah, it's just like, that's a complicated one. There's got to be easier stuff out there. Free agents. We've talked about Cam Whitmore.
Mm-hmm.
Who is very much like even more on the block now than he was, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't even think he's on the block. I think he's, when you're chopping stuff and stuff falls off, that's where he's at.
He's falling over yonder.
Yeah, like the carrot rolled off and it like hit the floor. Sure. Like he's over there.
He's a floor carrot now.
I mean, like if I'm the Kings, I'm certainly making that call.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are ways to potentially get better. And, like, look, there are a bunch of players that we don't know that are available right now that are. And
on the trade market, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. And there are also teams that are looking at their roster the same way the Kings should be looking at theirs right now and saying, okay, like, we got a point guard, but now we're up to like 17 guards.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, how are these guys going to play? And the fact is, as of right now, Schroeder and Monk and Levine and Keon Ellis are playing in the backcourt. And even that, you know, at least two of those players are going to play 30 plus minutes a night. That only leaves 18 minutes at the most. Like, there's not enough minutes at the in the backcourt for the players that you have. And that's not even bringing up a guy like Devin Carter. Like, there's going to be more movement. There has to be more movement, or like they can walk into the season with a completely unbalanced roster again, which would not be great.
I would just, man.
Well, if it, like, we feel that way, but just think what it, what poor Keegan Murray feels like. Like, he's looking around like, are you serious? Like, I might be the only guy on this roster at 6'8 that's not a center. Like, what exactly is happening here? Because that's where they are right now.
Okay, can they replace Jake LaRavia? Let me put it that way, because I know what you said about Jake LaRavia earlier, I think was right. Like, it wasn't like they lost some 15-point-a-night guy.
No.
But they lost a style of player that they just desperately need. It's the style of player I think Nick Clifford is going to be, and maybe that's what they think. Like, hey, Nick Clifford is talented enough to, at the very least, be Jake LaRavia. Like, we think, even if we have higher hopes for him, but we think that no matter what, his floor is Jake LaRavia, so maybe that's a replacement. But they have these exceptions.
Yeah.
Is there a replacement on the wing they could go find?
Yeah, one of the Martin twins was waived. Again, he's 6'5".
Cody.
Yeah, I think it was Cody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a player that would make sense for the Kings. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy, again, any move that you're going to make isn't going to be earth-shattering.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be on the peripheral, on the fringe. Mm-hmm. To get better. And again, like, maybe that means bringing back Trey Lyles. Yeah, it's just like there are a lot of different options here,
mm-hmm.
but like, we're too far away. Like, we need to see how it all plays out.
Mm-hmm.
And like, even right now, they just don't have that much money to go out and do a whole bunch of stuff. Like, signing league minimum players still costs like over $2 million. You know, we don't know if Terrence Davis is going to be on this roster or not. He's currently on the roster, but like, whether he's actually be on the roster once we get to training camp, stuff like mm-hmm. that. Isaac Jones, same exact thing. That's a guy I guess we do kind of skip over. They do have Isaac Jones, who's 6'9", and mm-hmm. who plays hard and you know, might be able to play in the rotation at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But as of today, Isaac Jones has to play minutes.
And honestly, like, I'm fine with that, man. If you're not competing for a title,
yep,
which they're not, if you're not going to be competing for a title, let Isaac Jones play.
Yeah.
And give him 25 games. And if he just really stinks and it's like, man, this is just not an NBA player, all right, you pull the plug. Same deal with Maxime Raynaud. Yeah, let him cook. Isaiah
Dario
Crawford.
Saric and Maxime Raynaud might be a good player comp, to be honest with you.
Like, prime Dario Saric, though.
Yeah, like when Dario Saric was like, yeah, when he was good.
Suns and Sixers, Dario Saric.
Yeah, when he came in Philadelphia, averaged 14.6 and 6.7 and shot 39.3 from three.
Yeah, you take that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe that's part of the plan. Maybe it's to bring him along. You know, and people bring up Cardwell. And Cardwell averaged 5 points and 5 rebounds a game as a 23-year-old mm-hmm. in college. Like,
let him get in the G League. If he's cooking in the G League, then we can talk.
Yeah, yeah. And that's not to say he's a horrible player, but, like, let's be honest. He's a guy who averaged 5 points and 5 rebounds as, like, a fifth or sixth-year senior.
Yeah, he's got to prove it in training camp first.
Yeah, yeah.
And then probably go to Stockton and play really well there for a while before. But like I said, like, Isaiah Crawford, yeah, give him some burn.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be competitive. I get it. But also, it's not the end of the world. If you win 37 games this year in service of finding out what you have in Isaac Jones, finding out what you have in Maxime Raynaud, give Nick Clifford some real run. Give Isaiah Crawford some real run.
Yeah, give like even Devin Carter and Keon Ellis.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah,
if that's what this is going to be, and I know, and again, now you run into the roster politics of, well, Zach LaVine's not losing minutes to those guys. And DeMar DeRozan's not losing minutes to those guys. Domantas Sabonis not losing minutes to those guys.
Yeah.
So I understand you've got kind of finite resources in that regard. But I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing if you're losing a few more games this year, but you're getting minutes for the young players you do have on your roster, the pieces who might be on the team if you're contending in 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, the problem is it. I mean, we keep saying this, but this team, as it's currently constructed, is not going to be bad enough to be bad, like to get a great draft pick.
Understood.
Like, you're not going to be able to reload with this team.
Understood.
And so that's always going to be the problem. So you're sitting in this really bad spot where you're probably, as of today, a 9, 10, 11, 12 seed in the Western mm-hmm. Conference. Like, and if you finished out of even the play-in, that wouldn't be a shock at all. And that's not about coaching. It's not about it's just the roster is weird.
I would rather miss the play-in and let some of the and again, I also understand I'm not naive to the fact that Domas isn't losing minutes, DeRozan isn't losing minutes, Levine's not losing minutes, Keegan's not losing minutes. I got it. Like I'm there. But I would so much rather see Isaiah Crawford in the rotation, Isaac Jones in the rotation. And Nick Clifford having a very prominent rotation role, Maxime Reyno. I would so much rather finish 12th and those guys got real burn and you got a good idea of what they are than finishing 10th or 9th and losing in the first play-in game. And those guys didn't play.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Kings are there. I don't think that's what the Kings want. I don't think that's what you're going to get this year.
Yeah.
But that's the way I would kind of approach this because I mean, you look, Chris Boucher is out there, but you don't need another big Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
If you need a point guard, you're going to do the Ben Simmons thing.
I see Ben Simmons, at least you'd be like, okay, for league minimum deal. I just think that there are going to be better landing spots for a league minimum deal for him. Yeah.
It's just that I think that's it. We just kind of explored it.
Yeah.
What else is out there? And the response is, well, we don't know exactly. There might be a player available. We don't know yet. Okay.
Yeah. Man, okay. It's tough. Like, look, this is a job that when Scott Perry took it over, it came with a list of problems. You know, I think one of the things the Kings aren't doing this offseason, we've heard, is they are not negotiating a new extension for Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking at this team 2 years from now, or a year and a half from now, a year from now, and what does it look like then? And can they make the moves they need to make between now and then? Can you get to the deadline and someone says, okay, I'll take on that last like $49 million plus from LaVine, I'll take on DeMar DeRozan's contract for this year, knowing I can buy him out for $10 million next year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are things that you might be able to make moves at the deadline. Even, you know, Monk, like, I know a lot of people are, like, super upset over the possibility of him being traded. But, like, look, you still owe Malik Monk 3 years. And when you're not a good team, having a $18 to $20 million six-man mm-hmm. isn't good business. Mm-hmm. It's just not.
No, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those positions where, like, when you're a good team, paying a player that does something specific is one thing, but when you reach into the bottom of the Western Conference standings, all of a sudden having players that are basically bonus pieces mm-hmm. that make a lot of money, that's just not good business in the NBA.
Real quick, before we get to the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320, SATC there. We'll get to him shortly. Shams Charania reporting, the Toronto Raptors and center Jakob Poeltl have agreed to a four-year, $104 million contract extension. Poeltl is also picking up the 26-27 player option and $19.5 million and then adds three additional years to that deal.
Yeah.
So shout out to the Raptors. Locked in their center. And let's lock in with TC on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. What's going on, TC? Talk me off the ledge, bro.
Hey, man, listen. Hey, I'm just tapping in with the homies. Hammer, Kyle, what's up?
Chilling, bro.
What's going on, man?
Hey, so how I see this, hey, I'm going to stick to that, man. BJ and Perry are silent assassins, bro, and they're putting this team together silently, right? It's not on how fast we want to move and how slow we want to move as fans and media. They're putting this team together. How I look at that move with Monk was, hey, okay, Detroit, you guys, what you want them? We could do a sign-and-trade, but I'm going to need a first-round pick. Or I'm going to need some type of draft asset. Oh, you don't want to give that to me? Okay, we're going to pull a deal off, and I'm just going to sign him anyway like I was going to do. So I'm fine with that. Now we got a guard, right? We got a point guard for the next couple years to see where this is going down the line. And where it's going down the line is it's right in front of us, guys. We're staying relevant until all this money can fall off the books because we can't trade these guys. And we're not going to be like, hey, we're going to give you Zach LaVine for 2035 second-round pick. We're not going to do that, bro. So He's like, hey, I'll keep these guys. Get me a guard in here, and we'll just keep pushing. We either try to make top six until this money falls off the book, and then we'll have a legit team. Perry and BJ are putting this team together, Kyle.
Thanks, TC. Not buying it.
That's nice. That's nice, TC. No.
he might not. This is the thing. This is all opinion.
Yeah.
This is my opinion. I don't know. I'm wrong a lot. Maybe Scott Perry has some move up his sleeve that's going to change the Kings' fortunes. They're a top six seed this year, and we're having a great time with it.
Yep.
I could be. TC's opinion is that that's what's going to happen. He might. I don't. That's not my opinion, but he may not be wrong.
Yeah.
But I just. I hear this idea, and I've used this phrase too, of just maintain relevance until you can get the money off the books, until you can trade some of those big deals and trade some of those expiring contracts. Like, what is relevance? TC just said top six. I'm sorry, you're short of that.
Oh, yeah, I don't
and
see
if you're
that
making,
at all.
If you're making a move that gets you into the top six, you're doing something that's beyond just staying relevant. And is staying relevant battling for the 10 seed? That's not relevance to me. That's playing for an extra game or two. I don't see that as it's just not being the Jazz. And that's just, I don't know, man. I guess I'd rather be fighting for the 10 seed than being the 14, I guess. But I'll go back to what I was just talking about. I'd also rather give a bunch of young dudes burn and see what you've got. So when you do start unloading those contracts, maybe Isaiah Crawford is a legitimate 3-and-D rotation player that can give you 25 minutes a night. Maybe Isaac Jones is a stretch four or stretch five that can play real minutes for you. But you're not going to know if they don't play, and I don't think they're going to play a lot because the Kings are too busy focused on being relevant.
Yep.
So no. What's the expectation? What's the expectation here?
Well, I can tell you, in all honesty, 40 and 42 is not relevant. You're completely irrelevant. You are. You're completely irrelevant.
That's it.
And so, I mean, that's the problem that they have. And like, look, what they did to add Dennis Schroeder, that does not change the fact that they have a bunch of players on this roster that are square pegs and round holes. It doesn't change it. Like, I don't care how far down the road we get. Like, I don't care if, like, we're hearing that, you know, Scott Perry, like, really likes DeMar DeRozan. That transaction in itself does not function on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you get 20 points. Okay, he might win a couple of games. But, like, the functionality of the team is what's broke.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. It's not, you know, like, player X or player Y or the direction or the coach. Or like, they don't fit. And you have done nothing to address the fact that you have a roster that does not fit yet at all.
Mm-hmm.
You have not done anything to address the fact that there are no 6'8", 6'9" players on this team that can bounce back and forth between the three and the four.
Yep.
Like, I like Nick Clifford. I think he projects well. He's the 24th pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else is the 24th pick in the draft? Max and Prosper, Omax.
Yeah. Yeah. Olivier Maxens Prosper.
Yeah, who the Dallas Mavericks are looking to dump his salary. Like, the 24th pick in the draft, like, can be a ball player,
mm-hmm.
and it can also not be a ball player.
Mm-hmm.
We have no, and for that matter, the 16th or the 8th pick or the 12th pick, same exact thing, but that's why you don't pin all your hopes to something, to a young player like that. Like, the team needs a major remake, and whether they're able to pull that off in one season or by the deadline or by next summer, like, I don't know.
Man. I wish I had an answer.
I do too.
But it really sounds like, barring another move, which could very much be in the works, barring another move, it feels very much like this is going to turn into all year talking about the next couple of years.
Yeah.
That's rough. All right. We got to step aside. The handoff. Kenny Caraway's here for the handoff. If anyone is going to inject some positivity into a conversation about the Sacramento Kings, it's Kenny Caraway. He's going to join us next ahead of D'Lo and Casey. Excited to chat with him. Love talking to him with Kenny. Stick around. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Now, back to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle. He's James. Joe Brazil's over there in a Giants hat. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Kenny Caraway's here in a Twins hat.
Yeah, man. Because the damn Giants can't get no win. I'm going to wear my Giants stuff in a couple days, though, because, you know, they're coming to town. So I'm going to be ready. I'm going to stick beside them. But these bums can't get anything done right now. Come on, fellas.
These bums can't get anything done right now. Are you talking about the Giants or the Kings front office? Am I right?
Hey-o.
All right. It's been, I don't even want to say it's been negative in here today. It's just the reality of where the Kings are at has been underwhelming, disappointing. It's hard to preach patience.
So I'll ask you a question. Kay. What did you want today? What would make you happy today?
Today?
Yeah.
Today, I don't know, because they're not, I was under the expectation that when Scott Perry said, hey, man, there's going to be, we need to find a point guard, that they were going to go get, because we were talking Trae Young, we were talking John Morant, and then we get told, hey, here's Dennis Schroeder. And then we get told, hey, Dennis Schroeder might also cost Malik Monk. And then we find out that's not the case. He gets a 3-year 45. Okay, they trade Jonas Valanciunas, they free up some cap space, and here we are.
So
it feels very much like we're going to go into this year just kind of waiting around until some of these big contracts become more valuable so they can get them off their books.
So I would,
and that's just tough.
I would say this, and I understand that feeling and that sentiment. Remember, I told you about a week ago before the draft, I was like, man, I'm antsy. Like, I want things to happen. That's my mentality. But I would ask you and everybody else that. You're feeling how you're feeling. Whose fault is that?
James Hamm's.
Okay.
No.
My fault.
No.
Because Scott never told you we were going to get Garland.
No, I understand
Trae Young,
that.
None
no,
of that. He just
no,
said,
I understand that.
He just said we need a point guard. He didn't say we were going to fix this in 6 months. Nothing. He just laid out
but here's,
how
no,
we're going to go about
he
this.
He did go on a bunch of podcasts before he took the job and said how much he liked specific point guards and how much he did not like
Zach LaVine
so no, as a player.
But here's I think what's frustrating is you're taking the patience route and you're going, I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to see what happens. We heard patience and financial flexibility for 3 years while the Kings went backwards. And now in Scott Perry's first year, where, hey, here comes Scott Perry. He knows everybody. He's going to make these calls, and he's going to wheel and deal. And, hey, maybe Zach LaVine's contract isn't that bad. People are going to want Domas. Like, all this we hear, oh, DeMar DeRozan's definitely out the door, and they're going to get something for him. And all of a sudden, all those guys are coming back, and the moves they've made have amounted to patience and financial flexibility, everyone. That's a very, very hard sell for me.
Okay.
And like you said, maybe the moves haven't been there, and that's fine, but I'm watching – We said, man, Dame tore his Achilles. Milwaukee's in a bad way. Giannis is going to ask out. And now all of a sudden, Milwaukee has figured out a way to not only get rid of Dame's contract, but they're also signing Miles Turner. I almost said Myers Leonard. That would have been crazy. Miles Turner. You've got Denver, who looked like, man, they're kind of on the ropes.
They're cooked.
They're heading the wrong direction. Can Jokic just kind of drag them along? And all of a sudden, they're trading Michael Porter Jr. and they're getting Cam Johnson back and opening up their mid-level. They're getting Bruce Brown. It's like, oh my God, how is every other team figuring this out? And with the Kings, it's patience. Look at the financial flexibility. It's just like,
to me,
I just don't want to hear that anymore, man. Do something.
To me personally, those two teams, those are moves just to make moves. Like, Cam Johnson's cool, but like,
but you get off of Michael Porter Jr.'s contract, which is terrible.
Now, I understand. I understand that. Is Cam Johnson that much better than Michael Porter Jr.?
No, I think he's a little better, and they open up their full mid-level exception with that deal.
Okay,
and we're able to trade for.
And Bruce Brown is Bruce Brown's cool. Bruce Brown is not Caruso.
Got him at a league minimum deal.
But they got better.
They got substantially better.
Yeah.
They are nowhere to me personally, and I was wrong on Denver all playoffs. Mm-hmm. So take that for what it's worth when I say this.
Sure.
They are nowhere. They are not Houston or OKC. They're not.
They won't be on paper, but the fact they took OKC to 7 with whatever their roster was last year.
That was impressive.
That's super impressive.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I don't think they were that far off.
To be honest with you, I don't know, but I was wrong on Denver the whole time. Like, I didn't believe in them the whole time. And you're right. They gave them a hell of a series. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to have to see it again because I don't think they're on the level of OKC and Houston. Mm-hmm. They got better maybe from where they were at, but it's still not championship level.
The other thing, and again, you say, whose fault is this? This is on me. I said, I would like them to pick a direction. I don't care if it's tanking. I don't care if it's, hey, we're going to go full bore to build around Zach LaVine, Domantas Sabonis. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be the two guys, Keegan Murray, Keon Ellis. Like this is going to be the start of this core, and we're going to just really go for it. They've done neither, and it feels like they're just treading water in mediocrity.
Isn't that not treading water in mediocrity, but isn't a direction to be like, we're not going to do nothing crazy right now.
No,
like that's not a direction. Standing pat. But that's we're not going to do anything to jeopardize our future. Whether it's financially or with picks. I mean, everybody got a future. Like, regardless of, like, what you think, everybody got a future. So their future, they got nine first-round picks?
Something like that.
In the first round. So we're not going to jeopardize, maybe we're not going to do that just for anything.
Sure.
Like, we want to, okay, that's what we got right now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can add. We need to get some second-rounders. Hopefully we can do that. But we're not going to put ourselves in a financial situation where we're handcuffed in that respect and not have any assets. And we're going to move along slowly, to your point, but we're going to move along slowly and wait for our right time to make whatever move we see fit, whether it's, hey, let's go get this superstar, or now we can get off these contracts with no type of repercussions.
Like I said, no, I'm sorry, James, I'll let you go here. I understand. Like, I get it. I'm not dense in this particular regard. I get the what you're laying out. I also reserve the right to be extremely frustrated by that idea.
Absolutely.
And extremely annoyed that it's another year of, hey, just everybody just hang on, just everybody wait. It's down the line, but everybody just hanging. Like I said, nobody who's complaining is going to not watch the Kings this year. Nobody's going to not go to games. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to burn their Kings jerseys over this. Nobody's asking for Scott Perry to be fired. But I think there's a certain level of frustration that comes with watching a team that preached patience the entire time. They went from 48 to 46 to 40 wins. And now it's, hang on, more patience. More of that, please.
Like, so all right, man. Real quick, I'm asking you, but I want James to be able to talk too. Should, because that's what the previous group did, should Scott Perry do something crazy just so he's not like them?
No, absolutely not. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think.
If he believes in patience.
Yeah. But
then that's what he should do.
I'm just gonna you want to establish an identity, right? That's what we're talking about. You want to replace the head of the snake, which was De'Aaron Fox. You just picked up a guy who's on his 10th team in 13 years. He is neither an identity piece or ahead of the snake.
Mm-hmm.
He's a player. And I'm not saying that Dennis Schroeder's a bad player, but he is not a cultural changing identity piece, because if he was, he wouldn't be on his 10th team in 13 years. Mm-hmm. So if that's the idea, is to forget the names, forget all the pieces, it's to create an identity and to find players that will push that identity forward, it's really difficult to see how Dennis Schroeder fits into that and how moving on from potentially moving on from Malik Monk does that, and how not moving on from other players that don't fit your system or what you're trying to do furthers this idea of building an identity. Because to me, I understand building an identity, but what one thing you can't do is wait 2 or 3 years to build the identity. The identity has to start now. That's what has to start now. The players can change, the pieces can change, but the identity pieces have to be bold and strong enough to be what you build your franchise around. And as of right now, I don't know who that is, because like Domantas Sabonis can be an identity piece. Keegan Murray has never taken that step as a personality to be an identity piece, but I get it. Keon Ellis, you probably burned a bridge. And when you decided not to give him to opt out and give him a contract. So like, who is your identity and what is your identity pieces? And what it can't be is like, hey, the 24th pick in the draft is one of our identity pieces. Like, okay, that's if he makes it, if he makes it two seasons in.
Yeah.
And so I get the the idea. But you have to show me what the identity is, because as of right now, that is where I'm getting lost. It's like, okay, who are you moving forward? Because what you really look like is a bunch of people who are looked at as expiring contracts in a year. That's mm-hmm. what you're looking at.
Yeah.
So what if that person isn't available? What do you do? Do you just go do something crazy? Like, just mm-hmm. because people want you to do something different. If the person that you're looking, let's just for example, if I'm just throwing out a name, mm-hmm. if they think Jalen Brunson is the type of person that you would build around and be your identity piece, mm-hmm. if that person isn't available this summer, what do you do? What do you do?
We're about to see it. But that just happened.
We're going to find out.
Uh-huh. We're going to find out because that just happened.
It's less. I saw somebody say Kyle has to remember that it wasn't Scott Perry who did this. I get it. Like he picked up a terrible hand. But at the same time, I get frustrated by the traffic at the 5 to 80 junction on the way home.
That's worse than Scott Perry. That's ridiculous.
It's a good point. But like I get frustrated by that, but I know it's there. Like, that doesn't mean I'm not going to be annoyed while I'm sitting there behind a big rig doing 4 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of what this is. Like, it's frustrating. It's annoying. I understand, like, wait a couple of years. Okay, cool. But we had so much hope that, okay, Scott Perry's going to change. It's going to be aggressive. It's going to be so different.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, whether the moves are there or not, whether the moves are available or not, this feels super disappointing.
Nah, I get it. I wanted
to this to, point. To this point, there could be huge moves coming. I don't know.
I'm dying on the hill. I could be completely wrong. I wanted him to make the deal for Trae Young. Like, apparently that was available. Mm-hmm. He decided he didn't want to do that. That's the move I would have done.
Absolutely. But all right, we gotta go. Joe's yelling at me. That's James. I'm Kyle. D'Lo and KC coming up next. Trista Tuesday.
Jason Jones
yep, today.
Yep.
Should be a ton of fun. Noon to four. They'll have every little bit of news that breaks. They'll be breaking it all down for you right here on ESPN 1320. D'Lo and KC next. For Joe Brazil and James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Until tomorrow at 10, drink water. Be nice, people. Bye.